The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen.
Daf Mem Zayin. Today's daf is being studied Le'alei Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Refuah Shelema Yosef Ben Sarah, Rahamim Ben Adel, Ve'Sarah Bat Rachel Edna Refan Lehem B'Toch Shear Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Victor Gindi, Hashem Yishmeru V'Hayehu, for continued hatzlacha in all his endeavors, continued success, bri'ut, health, happiness, and all good things. Amen.
We begin today's daf on Mem Vav Amud Bet, and we are two lines from the bottom. Shtar Ubi'ah. We learned in the Mishnah that a father has a right to accept the shtar of Kiddushin, meaning he can marry off his daughter and he receives the shtar, and for that matter he also can give over his daughter to a man for bi'ah, for the kiddushin. Minalan, how do we know that the father has these rights? Amar kera behayeta le'ish acher. The pasuk over there is talking about of a lady that got divorced. The pasuk of yatze'ah mebeto, she left one man's house, behalecha behayeta le'ish acher. So the Gemara says, "Itkush havayot lahadadeh," which means all the ways that a lady is able to get married are compared to each other. Which is when it says hayeta, hayeta in this pasuk means she got kiddushin. She went and she got married. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly how she got married. So that teaches us that what? All the different ways of getting married are equal. The hayeta. However she was hayeta. Either kesef, shtar, ubi'ah. So once already you know that kesef the father keeps, so therefore I say shtar ubi'ah also the father has rights, because all the methods of kiddushin are equal to each other. Zakai b'mitzi'ata. We said in the Mishnah that a father also has rights to the mitzi'ah, to the lost object, or to the found object that his daughter finds. He keeps it. So the Gemara says, why? Mishum eva, because of strife. What does that mean? As she says, "Dekevan de'enu hayav b'mizonoteha." Really, a father is not obligated to support his daughter. So after a certain age, he doesn't have to give a mizonot. And therefore, i amart mitziata shela. If you're going to say that she keeps the found objects, ika eva velo zayin le'tu. So he's going to come along and say, hey, "Listen, I'm supporting, I'm feeding her, that I don't have to. She keeps the objects for herself. So if in order to keep everything in peace, so we say, you know what? He'll continue to support her, he doesn't have to, but he knows he's getting the mitziah. He knows at least he's getting the objects. Comes again and says, "Mamase yadeha," her work, which means the work of a girl goes to the father. Minalan, how do you know this? Damar avuna amar av minayin shemase abat le'av. How do you know that the work of a daughter goes to the father? Shneimar v'chi yimkod ish et pito le'ama. The pasuk says a person sells his daughter as a servant. So there's a connection between bito and ama. Ma ama ma'asiyah de'a l'rabba, just like an ama. The ma'asiyah de'a goes to the master, av bit'abba, so to a daughter, ma'asiyah de'a l'aviyah. So to a daughter, her work, the money goes to the father. Ve'ema hanimili ketana de'matzeh mizbana. And maybe the Gemara says it's only a ketana because he has rights to sell a ketana, so therefore you can make the connection to the amma, just like he could sell a ketana, so the ketana is ma'asiyah, they go to the father. Aval na'ara delo matzeh mizbana ma'asiyah de'adida. But maybe a na'ara, where the father does not have rights to sell her as an amma, maybe the ma'asiyah there goes to her for herself. So the Gemara says, avu mistabra de'abiyah. The Gemara says, no, from sevara belongs to the father. Why? The isan katadach ma'asiyah de'alav de'abiyah. If you're going to say that, the na'ara's ma'asiyah does not belong to the father, elav We know that a father has a right to marry off his daughter, to give his daughter over to chupa when she's a ne'ara. How would he be able to do such a thing? Which means if ma'aseh yadeh belonged to her, then a father would never be allowed to marry his daughter off. Because when he marries his daughter off, so already now the ma'aseh yadeh that she has, she loses. Now it goes to the husband. Which means it would not be in his jurisdiction to marry off his daughter nisu'in, because she's taking away ma'aseh yadeh of the na'ara. Ela what? Must be the ma'aseh yadeh of the na'ara belongs to the father. So since it's his right to marry her off, and therefore he's not taking away anything from the daughter. Nothing was coming from the daughter anyway. But if the ma'aseh yadeh went to the daughter, how would we give rights to marry her off where she's going to lose that ma'aseh yadeh? So comes the Gemara and said, now how do we know that a father has a right to marry off his daughter? So that she says, "Kedichtiv et biti natati kol nitinot shema b'mashma ve'oto hayom ena osa melacha," which means on that day that she's given over, on that day she doesn't go to work, on that day she's getting married, so she loses that melacha. So how could the father give over to chupa and she's going to lose that day of work? Understand, on the day that the wedding, she can't go to work that day. So therefore, she's being caused a loss by the father. But if you say it's the father's ma'aseh yadeh, she can do whatever he wants. It's his money. So therefore, she's not incurring a loss. So the Gemara says, no. Gemara says, parich rabahai. So rabahai comes along and answers this question. Emad yaid laschar pakata. I can tell you that in the case where a father's marrying off his daughter, maybe he has to pay her for the compensation of that day of the lost work, which is maybe the ma'aseh yadeh when he goes to the na'ara. You're going to tell me, how can he marry her off? He's going to cause her a loss? He'll compensate her for the loss. Pekata is batala. Meaning he'll pay her for the day of batala, the day that she didn't work. Or he married off at night, where you don't go to work at night anyway, so there was no loss. There was no interruption. Or he gave her over on Shabbat and Yom Tov, where there's no work. So Tosfot has a question. How can he give her over to get married on Shabbat and Yom Tov? You're not allowed to get married on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So Tosfot says, we're talking about Erev Shabbat, meaning an hour before Shabbat or an hour before Yom Tov, meaning the Tosefet time, where already she's not working anyway right before Shabbat and right before Yom Tov, where it's permissible to get married. So therefore, there was really no batala. So we're back to the question, how do you know that a Ne'ara Ma'aseh Adea goes to the father? So the Gemara concludes like this. Really, by a ketana, we do not need a pasuk to tell me that ketana, the father, gets the money. Hashta zibunim mazbina maase adeh mevaye. But you have a sevara. If a guy's allowed to sell his daughter as a ketana, certainly the money's going to go to the father. Ela ki yistarikra le'ne'ara. The pasuk is coming for a ne'ara, which means, really, I know it from v'chim koret bito le'ama. And I'll tell you, I don't need the pasuk to tell me ketana, because ketana, of course the money goes to the father, because just like he has rights to sell her, of course the money's going to go to the father. So the hadush of v'chim koret bito le'ama is specifically for a ne'ara. What? That the na'ara, also the money goes to the father. So again, it's from the extra pasuk. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that the ketana, the money goes to the father. Of course, look at Ashi. Ela ketana lo tzricha kra. Deka shelach le'el. Ema hani mini ketana dematzi mizbana lav kushay. That which you said, maybe the pasuk was only talking about a ketana. It's not a question. Ki yisari kao na'ara, v'avgav di kar kra b'ketana keti. Even though the pasuk is talking about a ketana, because it's talking about selling a Ama, you can only sell an Ama when she's a ketana. Miu krai yetera udechtiv le'ama lekoshe bat le'ama lekeshet le'na'arat ya. But the hekesh between bat le'ama, I'll tell you, is coming to teach you hadush in ne'ara. Because extra pasuk, I don't need to compare a ketana to a Ama. So I know vaday ketana, the money goes to the father. And the connection between bito and Ama is coming to me even in ne'ara, that the money goes to the father. Be'afarat nedareha, we said in the Mishnah that what the father has rights to make hafarat nedarim on the daughter's nedarim. Minalan dechtiv b'nu'ureha bet aviha. That's a pasuk written by min nedarim, that even though she's a ne'ara, she's still considered bet aviha in the father's house. U'mekabel et gita. The father also has rights to accept the daughter's gift. Minalan dechtiv yatse'a v'hayeta. Right? She will go out, she'll get divorced from one man and get married to another man. So, there's a comparison between going out and coming in. Just like coming in, the father gets it, so to going out, the father receives the get as well. Ve'eno ochel perot pehayeha. We said if, let's say, the girl inherits from her grandfather, her maternal grandfather, she inherits, let's say, a field, so the father is not allowed to eat perot, eat from those fruit, during the girl's life. Because when she dies, of course, then the father inherits it. But as long as she's alive, the father can sell the fruit and make what's called a sigulah, which means like put it in a trust, and therefore give it to the girl when she gets older. But he cannot benefit from it. Right? The father cannot eat perot as long as the girl is alive. So we have a machloket. The Biyose says, indeed, he can. What is the machloket over here? I understand. We learned in the Mishnah that a husband is able to eat perot, which means once she gets married, the husband eats from these fruits. So Tanakama will say like this. I understand the husband. The reason why the rabbis gave the husband perot, because otherwise he's not going to redeem her. So, which means like this, once already you're giving him the perot to eat, so now I'll come along and say, listen, I'm getting a benefit from her, so that'll give him an incentive that she, if she's in captivity, he'll come along and pay money to redeem her. Look at Rashi. Which means, the pirkona, the redemption, that's instead of the perot. The lichlinu baal, the husband ate them. Vechol pidyonai ya'alav, imrav imeat. Which means now he's going to pay for the redemption, whether it's a lot of money or a little money. Diamat lenichinu viyivdu amehem, im tiyeh shivuya, zimnin delo malu. Which means, if you're going to tell the guy, listen, you can't eat the perot, use these perot for the redemption. So what's going to happen? In the case where she needs to be redeemed, he's only going to use the amount of the perot. He's not going to add to it. But now that you gave him rights to eat it right away, so he's eating all these years, so he doesn't even know how much he ate. So therefore, when it comes to the redemption, he's not going to start making a calculation, well, I only ate $100 worth, and now I owe $500. Since you gave him rights to eat immediately, and he already lost track what he ate, so that'll cause him just to pay whatever the amount is. Good. Ela'av, but a father, ma'ika le'memar. Dimimne'ev elo parik. You don't have to give the father an incentive to redeem his daughter. Tanakama says that the whole reason of perot is to give the husband an incentive to redeem, to pay for the redemption. But a father doesn't need an incentive. A father is going to redeem his daughter regardless. So therefore, the father does not get to eat the perot. The father also needs an incentive, which means, if you don't give him the perot, he's not going to redeem. Why is he not going to redeem his daughter? What is he going to say? Savar kisa nakita ilava. He's going to say, well, listen, my daughter has money. She has that money from the estate. She has a pocketbook of money. And therefore, tizav tefrut nafshah, let her redeem herself. And therefore, he's going to refrain. So therefore, by giving him the perot, it'll cause the father also to do the redemption. Look at that. She kisa nakte kishma lemaot yishna b'skulaya. She has the trust. He says, listen, I never benefited from them. I'm going to go redeem myself. And now what's going to happen? If there's not enough in the trust for the redemption, he's not going to kick in and pay the difference. So therefore, the Hadush is, according to the BOC, you have to give the father the perot also. So if she's ever in captivity, he'll pay the money fully, and he's not going to start making calculations, because since he was eating the perot for so many years already, so therefore he doesn't start calculating how much he ate. He doesn't even know how much he ate. So therefore he'll pay the full amount. He's not going to, not pay the full amount. Comes again, what on says, Niset, once she gets married, we learned in the Mishnah, Yeter aleha ba'al shu ochel. So comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a baraita. Katav la perot kesut vekelim shiyavu imam bet abiha lebet ba'ala. Which is, let's say you have in the ketubah, the father wrote what's called a nedunya. What is a nedunya? Where it's like a dowry, where the father of the bride says that when you get married, I'm going to give to the husband a different type of perot, kesut, different type of clothes, vessels, and all these type of things. He's committing to a nedunya to the husband. It says, Meta, now what happened? She died, meaning she died at the time of Irusin. The marriage was not yet consummated, lo zacha habal bedvarim halalu. So the husband does not get these items. He's not zoche to these things. Vishum Rabbi Natan amru zacha habal bedvarim halalu. Oh, so Rabbi Natan says, no, already from the time of the Erusin, if she dies, he gets these items. So comes the Gemara and says, Lema b'fluta de Rabbi el Azar ben Azariah ben Rabbanan kamepalgeh. Let us say that the machloket between Tanakama and Rabbi Natan is based on the machloket between Rabbi el Azar ben Azariah and Rabbanan. Why? Netan, we have a Mishnah. Nit armela o nit garesha. Let's say you have a lady, she became a almana, o nit garesha, or she got divorced. Bein min nisuin, bein min erusin. Right, whether she got divorced from nisuin or erusin, gove et hakol. According to the Rabbanan, she gets everything, which means not only does she get her ikar ketubah, but sometimes the husband adds what's called tosefet ketubah. He adds in it more payments besides, let's say, the minimum 200 for a betulah. He says, besides the 200, I'm going to add to you extra money. So the hadush of according to the Rabbanan is that let's say she gets divorced even from the erusin, she gets the full payment of the ketubah. Or she becomes a widow from the Erusin, not only does she get the Ikar Ketubah, but she also gets the Tosefet. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, min Nisuin, govet hakol. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, min Nisuin, she gets everything. Min Erusin, betula govet matayim, ve'almana maneh. But min Erusin, she only gets Ikar Ketubah. Shelo katav la ela almenat lekonsa. Which means that the husband, when he added Tosefet Ketubah, Kutei B'Azam and Azariah, it's only on the in condition that what? She's going to eventually consummate the marriage with a Nisuin. So Kutei B'Azam and Azariah, there's no Tosefet given until Nisuin. But at the time of Erusin, if let's say she becomes a widow, she only gets the Ikar Ketubah. So the Gemara wants to say, this Machloket is similar to the Machloket of the case we just spoke between Hakamim and Rabbi Natan. Let's review that case. That case was a reverse case where the girl is bringing into the marriage Tosefet, where the girl is writing in the Ketubah from her father, she's going to give the husband all these extra items. So the Gemara says like this, Leman damar lozacha. According to opinion, it says lozacha, meaning the husband does not get the extra nidunya at the time of the Irusin if her wife dies. Can it be Azam and Azariah? Meaning, just like she doesn't get the Tosefet at the time of the Erusin, he's not going to get the Nidunya at the time of the Erusin. Uman Damazacha, and the opinion that says that if she dies at the time of the Erusin, he gets the full Nidunya, Kerabanan. That say what? That if he dies at the time of Erusin, she gets not only the Ketubah, but she also gets the Tosefet. Let's read Rashi. Man de amar lo zacha kerabi el azar de amar lo katav la ketubah ila amenat lekunsa, which means according to el azar, the ketubah is really kicking in at the time of the nisuin. Umaneu matam tikun rabbanan who de itle inam. So therefore, she only gets what the 100 or 200 is the ikar ketubah at the time of erusin. So therefore, inameh, she also when she's putting stuff in the ketubah, lo katba lo vedan nedunya alate ela amrat hibat nisuin, only until it's going to be a complete nisuin. So then we want to say we have a similar machloket. Gemara says lo, I can tell you no. The kule alma kerabi el hazar ben azariah. I can tell you like this. Hachamim and Rabbi Natan, they were only arguing legabed the nidunya that she brings into the marriage. But what I could say, both those rabbis will agree to Rabbi Elazar legabed the tosefet that he's giving to her. That everybody will agree with that the tosefet doesn't kick in until the time of the nisuin. Why? Man de amar lo zacha ke Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Well, obviously, according to the opinion that says lo zacha, which means that she doesn't. He doesn't get the extra until the nisuin. That's like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That what? That she's not going to get the extra until the nisuin. So that's for Vadai, the same shita. Uman de amar zacha. Oh, but the opinion that says what zacha? That already she is zochet. That he is zochet in the nidunya from the time of the irusin. Ad kano kamar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ela medide ledida. When did Rabbi Elazar come along and say that the Ketubah doesn't kick in until the Nisuin? That's only when he's giving to her. which means his Tosefet. Shelo katav le'el amenad le'kotza. He's not given Tosefet only on condition what, that they finally get married. Aval medida ledide. But what she's putting in the ketubah, what her father's putting in the ketubah, the Tosefet, afilu be'azam le'azariyah modeh, that what? That even at the time of the Irusin already, he can get it. Temishum ihtunehu. Which means they were giving, he's giving it because they're excited about the union. Which means already there's a union. Which means the hiba of the irusin already, that's why the father's already giving the money. So therefore it comes out according to this Gemara, there's a difference between the way the husband writing Tosefet or where the father is writing Tosefet. The Gemara is saying like this, when the father is writing the Tosefet, that already kicks in at the time of the Irusin, because he's excited about the union, that the children are getting married, so he already writes the Ketubah, I'm giving you extra stuff. So if she dies already at the time of the Irusin, already he gets that money. Masha'enkin, you can argue that when he's writing Tosefet, then they'll say, no, he's writing Tosefet to give her only the Gabeh if there's going to be a final marriage. But if there's no final marriage, he's not committing himself to the Tosefet. So therefore, it could be this machloket between the Bin Azam and the Banan is not the same machloket by the Nidunya. Which I can tell you, by the Nidunya, they have a machloket, but by the case of the Hatan, everybody will hold like Rabbi Azam bin Azariah, that he's not giving it until the time of Nisu'in. Comes the Gemara and continues and says, Haya b'mizonotea. Okay, good. So we said what? That one of the things that a husband is obligated to his wife is what? Mizonot. Why is obligated to feed her? So the Gemara says, "Tanu Rabbanan, tiknu mizonotea tachat maaseh yadeha." That the reason why he has to give a mizonot, the father, sorry, not the father, the husband, why does he have to give his wife mizonot tachat maaseh yadeha? Because he's getting maaseh yadeha. He's getting the her work. She brings in the work. He gets it. That she says, actually, no. Right, since he's zoche, which means otherwise it's not fair because he's going to get the maaseh yadeha. So since he gets maaseh, so he gives her mizunot. That was the takana of the hachamim. So comes the Gemara and says ukburata tahat ketubata, and the reason why he has to bury, I pay for the burial for the advantage that he gets from the ketubah. Now, what advantages does the husband get from the ketubah? Because the lady brings into the marriage certain nichse milog, certain properties where the husband is able to eat the perot. So as an advantage that he's getting from the ketubah, he accepts to pay the kivura. Okay? So let's review. As an advantage that he gets maaseh yadeha, her work, so he pays for mizonot. As an advantage that he gets the ketubah, meaning the perot from the ketubah, so he is going to pay for the funeral. So comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, tiknu mizonotea tachat maaseh yadeha, kivurata tachat ketubata lefichach. Therefore, ba'al ochel perot. Therefore, it says the husband is able to eat perot. So the Gemara says, perot mandecha shemayu. Where are you talking about perot? We're talking about ketubah, we're talking about kivurah, we're talking about mezonot. Where did you discuss over in this end of this bright? And I say, therefore, the husband eats perot. Who mentioned anything about perot? So the Gemara says, no, hasure mechsra v'achi ketani. Teknu mezonotea tat maaseh yadeha. Upirkona tahat perot. Ah, new case. Which means, the reason why we let the husband eat the perot, what's the perot we're talking about? Let's say she inherited something from her grandfather. So the hadush is that the husband is able to eat the perot. Why? So he'll end up coming to redeem her if she's taken into captivity. And the ketubah, since he gets benefits from the ketubah, that she brings in assets, so he pays for the kiburah. Lefichach, ba'al ochel perot. That's why the husband eats the perot. So the Gemara says, "My lefichach." What do you mean? What do you have to tell me lefichach? What do you mean? Therefore, says, "Ma'od etem amnecha lo nechlinu." Because maybe I'll tell you, you know what? Maybe he shouldn't be able to eat the perot. Anuhen nanchinu. Maybe he should just leave the perot on the side and use those perot for the ransom. His deimken mimna velo parich. Because maybe we're worried that what? If you don't leave it in on the side, he won't redeem. Right. How do you know? Maybe if you let this guy eat them, they're not going to be around. That is going to come to redemption. Maybe he's not going to redeem. So I would have thought that maybe he should leave it on the side to use for redemption. Kamashmalan deha adifa. It's better to do it this way. Let him eat immediately. Zimnin de lo malu, because maybe the redemption money is not going to be as much as he ate. Uparik la midide. But by doing it this way, he'll add from his own money to pay for the redemption, which means, like we said earlier, which means if you're not going to let the guy eat, you're just going to put it like in an escrow to wait. So now what happens? You're going to be taken into captivity. They're going to tell the husband, okay, use the perot. He's going to tell him, you know what? There's only, let's say, $100 of perot over here. The redeemers want $200. I'm not kicking in. You didn't let me eat them. I'm paying whatever the perot are. But now that you let the guy eat immediately, so he's been eating for all this time, he don't even know how much he ate. So therefore, he's going to be very generous when it comes to redeeming. He's just going to pay whatever it is. He's not going to start saying, penny for penny. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Lefichach ochel perot," because you might have thought, well, since the perot is corresponding to the redemption, I might have to leave the perot on the side and don't give him a right to eat them. Kamash malan, no, we give him rights to eat them, because now if the redemption is even more than he ate, he's not going to, he doesn't even know the calculation anymore. And therefore he's going to pay more. Look at Ashi. Ashi says, Delo malu, lo yu perot kede pirkona ba'ashta ki achlinu. Now that he started eating them from the beginning, velo yadia kamava. He don't even know how much he ate because he's been eating for so long. Parik la medire is going to redeem him from his own money. Da'achi tiku diu achil ben rab ben me'atu parik kol kamadahavi. Which is once already allowing him to eat, so then anyway he's going to pay the redemption as much as he can. That's why the Brayta says, lefichach, therefore, since it's corresponding to pirkona, therefore you let him eat the perot immediately. Now the Gemara says, v'ipuchana, why don't you say the opposite? What do you mean the opposite? We said till now that the mizonot is connected ma'asei adeha, and the ketubah, I'm sorry, and the kivura is connected the money that she brings into the ketubah. Why don't you say the opposite? Why don't you say that the mizonot is connected the money she brings into the ketubah, and I'll tell you the kibura is keneged maasiyadeha. Which means, who told you to set it up like you did? Look at Ashi. Vipuchana. Mezonot ta'at. Actually, look at it. The Ashi says a little differently. Mezonot ta'at perot. Okay, he says it totally differently. Let's read Ashi again. Vipuchana. Mezonot. Maybe I'll tell you, mezonot is ta'at perot. Which means, since he benefits from the perot that she might inherit from her grandfather, so let me say that he has to feed her, because he's getting those perot, upirkona, and let me say the redemption is ta'at ma'asiyadeh. Why do you say that? Now, what would be the nafkamina? So that she says, nafkamina, di amra eni nizonet ve'eni osa lo klum kamra. Normally we have a law that says a lady can come along and say like this, don't feed me and I'll keep my ma'asiyadeh for myself. Because the only reason why she gives ma'asiyadeh to the husband is because the husband is feeding her. But she has the right to say, any nizonet, I don't want mizonot, and you can keep, and I keep my ma'asiyadeh. But if you're going to say it this way over here, that mizonot is tahat perot, so now she cannot come along and say that any nizonet and keep my ma'asiyadeh, because mizonot is not keneged ma'asiyadeh. So there's enough coming out if you learn this way. Again, if you say that the mizonot that she's eating is connected that with the husband's getting the perot, she would not have a claim. She cannot say any nizonot ve'eni osei lo klum, because the mizonot is not corresponding to the ma'asiyadeh. So the Gemara is just asking a question: who told you that the corresponding payments is mizonot connected ma'asiyadeh and pirkona is connected perot? Maybe I'll tell you it's the opposite. So the Gemara says, Vipuchana, Amar Rabbeye, Teknu Matsui le Matsui, Vesheeno Matsui le Sheeno Matsui. The Gemara says that the rabbis established common items corresponding common items and not common items corresponding not common items. What does that mean? Mizonot obviously is common. You have to feed your wife. You have mizonot that everybody eats. And Maaseyadea is also common. She's a lady goes to work, she has ma'asiyadeim. So therefore, since those things are common, so therefore they were metakin ma'asiyadeya kenegad the mezonot. Masheenkin pirkona, a lady that's taken into captivity is really not so common. And a lady bringing into the marriage nichsim midlog, where the husband's going to be able to eat perot, that's also not so common. So therefore, kenegad the not common situation of pirkona, they established that he eats the perot, which is also a not such a common situation. Which means they wanted to make sure that mizonot is going to be connected to something that's applicable, something that's very common. In a marriage, it's very common that a lady has ma'asi adayim, her work. So therefore, since mizonot is common, which he feeds her, and the ma'asi adayim is common, is a normal situation, so therefore they were mitaken mizonot connected ma'asi adayim. And pirkonawe, not every lady is taken into captivity, it's an odd case. And for that matter, they were mitaken Pero, which is also odd. Not every lady brings in nichsei melog into the marriage, and therefore they put matsui keneged matsui and eno matsui keneged eno matsui. He comes to Gemara and continues and says, Amar Rava says, Hai Tana Savar, this Tana holds mezonot midoraita. The following Tana holds that when a husband has to feed his wife or pay for his wife's food, that is actually a Torah law. The Tanya, we have a Braita. She'era, the Torah says, the word she'era, that's one of the obligations that a husband has towards his wife. She'era. What is she'era? Elu mezonot. Oh, the word she'era actually means food. Vechenu omer, ba'asher achelu she'er ami. The pasuk is talking about over there, about the leaders of Israel that were eating the food of the nation. Now what is it called, the food? She'er. So you see when the Torah says she'era, that an obligation of a husband to his wife is she'era, so you see in the Torah, the husband has to feed his wife. Then the next obligation Torah says is kesuta, that he has an obligation to clothe her. Kemashmao? Like it sounds, kesuta's clothes. So therefore you have she'era is obligation to feed her, kesuta is the obligation to clothe her. Onata, that's the third item the Torah mentions. What is onata? Zu ona. That's referring to time. Literally, onah means time. Now, what time are we talking about over here? The time of intimacy, which means it's the obligation of the husband to have a certain amount of time intimately with his wife. How do we know the word onah refers to this type of time? Which is Lavan, when he caught up with Yaakov Abinu, when he was making the deal with him, and Yaakov Abinu married his daughters, so he came along and said, if you're going to be me'aneh, if you're going to literally torture my daughters. Now, what is this, the context of it, that Lavan was saying, you better not torture my daughters? So the simple interpretation, the way that she understands in the Masechet Yoma, is what? That Ta'anez Melashon Ona, which means he was make sure you give my daughters the proper time, which means make sure you give them their Ona. What is the Ona? The intimate obligation that a husband has to his wife. So Lavan was like making a deal to make sure that Yaakov's going to give his wife the onah. So you see the word onah refers to the intimate time. Tosfos learns differently. Because if you don't give a girl the intimate time, it's a inuita. It's a torchita. So you say, make sure you don't torture them. How? By not giving them the time. So you see that the word onah was used over there also as a onata lo yigra, which means when it says in the pasuk onata, according to Tosfot, it means do not take away something that would cause her pain. And what would that be? Taking away from her intimate time. Bottom line, you see the word ona is talking about the intimacy. Again, according to Rashi, the proof from Lavan is onata, meaning imta'anet menotai, meaning make sure you give my girls the time, meaning the intimate time, or imta'ane, do not torture them, which means do not refrain from them something that would cause them torture. And therefore, when the Torah says, onatak or tosafot, it means the item that would cause them pain. What's the item that would cause them pain? If you refrain from them, the intimate time. Rabbi Elazar says, she'era zu ona. Oh. Rabbi Elazar has a different interpretation of the pasuk. Till now, we learned the word she'era means mizonot. But according to Rabbi Elazar, he says, no, the word she'era actually is relations. Zu ona. V'chein omer ish il kol she'er besaro lo tikrimu legarot erva. So you see the word she'er is used in the pasuk of Arayot, which means relations. So therefore she'era is talking about ona. Kisuta, k'mashmo, again, kisuta is talking about clothes. Onata elu mezonot. And the word onata is actually referring to the obligation to feed. Kevechen omer vayanecha vayaribecha. And the midbar, the pasuk says, vayanecha. Literally, you were tortured. How were you tortured? By Yaribecha, because you were starved. So you see, the word ona refers to not having food. So the word onata is actually food. Comes the Gemara gives a third interpretation. The Gemara puts the words she'era next to kisuta. Why would the Torah put the word she'era next to the word kisuta? Lefum she'era, according to her size, She'era can mean like her flesh. But according to her size, how big she is, ten kisuta. Which means you have to give her the right clothes according to her size. Meaning, she'lo yiten la lo shel yalda l'zkena. You shouldn't give young clothes to an older lady. Ve'lo shel zekena liyalda. And not clothes of an old lady to a young girl. Now, what's the difference between the two clothes? So that she says, second line, Zekena kashela masui. Old lady, she doesn't like to wear heavy clothes because the weight of the clothes weighs down on her. She likes to wear very thin clothes. Ve'ena yichola lesbol begadim rechamim. She cannot wear wide clothes because it's too heavy. However, yalda sinicha begadim rechamim letnaot ben. But a young girl, she likes to wear flary clothes that are long and big. So the pasuk is like, she'era kisuta. According to her she'er, according to her who she is, her size, or her age, that's what type of kisuta you have to give up. If she's old, you give her accordingly. If she's young, you give her accordingly. Now the pasuk says kisuta ve'onata. Right? Next to the word kisuta, the next word is onata. So we make a connection between the word kisuta and onata. To teach me what? Lefum onata ten kisuta. According to the time, that's the clothes you have to supply her. Exactly. Shelo yiten hadashim bimot hachama velo sha'akim bimot hageshamim. You don't give new clothes in the summer because new clothes are still heavy. And if it's too hot to wear new clothes in the summer months. Velo sha'akim, you don't give old clothes in the winter. Old clothes are light and therefore it's going to be too cold for her. So therefore the pasuk is saying over kisuta ve'onata, give her the clothes according to the seasons. Winter clothes in the winter, summer clothes in the summer. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen ve'amen.